Have you ever been on a long journey? How did you feel when you finally returned home after being away? Have you ever gone through a difficult season of life, longing for better days and holding on to hope for change? How was it like when those better days finally arrived? Let's think about the Israelites in Egypt. For generations, they suffered in the misery of slavery, crying out to God for deliverance. Then God led them out of Egypt through the plagues, opening a path through the Red Sea, and leading them into freedom. After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they finally crossed into the promised land that God had promised to their ancestors. They had waited, and now they were home, filled with joy. They had enjoyed their lives in the land, but their disobedience and sin led them into division and spiritual darkness. Later, the Babylonians came, destroyed their city, and took them away into exile. In that foreign land, they wept by the rivers of Babylon, longing for the home they had lost. Yet in the midst of their sorrow, God did not forget them. After 70 years, he brought them back to their homeland. They had endured, and now they were home again, filled with joy. The first thing they did in their homeland after their return was to rebuild the altar, excuse me, and reestablish the worship of God. They offered sacrifices to God as a way of expressing their gratitude and dedication to Him after their long exile. It wasn't just about returning to their home, but about returning to God and restoring their relationship with Him. Joseph and Mary also experienced their return home after being in Egypt. After the birth of Jesus, they had to flee to Egypt to escape King Herod's wrath. For years, they lived in a foreign land, away from their home, waiting for the right time to return. But even in their exile, they trusted God's plan. Then after Herod's death, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, telling him that it was safe to return to Israel. Let's read about this their journey back home. Matthew 2, verses 19 through 23. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. He went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophet, that he would be called a Nazarene. Their journey was not without uncertainty or fear, but God's plan unfolded in ways they couldn't have imagined, leading them into Nazareth, where the prophecy was fulfilled. Just as we feel joy when we return home after a long time away, Joseph and Mary experienced that same joy in returning to the land of Israel. They finally came back to the place where they belonged, where God's plan would continue to unfold. The Israelites were filled with joy when they returned to their homeland after exile. Joseph and Mary experienced joy when they settled in Nazareth. But all of this is just a shadow of the true joy we experience when God Himself comes to dwell within us. True joy is found in God being our ultimate home, where His presence is the place where we truly belong. In this Advent season, we celebrate the joy of Emmanuel, God with us. As we feel joy when we return to a place of belonging and peace, we experience the deepest joy when we find our true home in God Himself through Jesus Christ. We are not returning to a place, but to the very presence of God, where we are eternally welcomed and loved. God Jesus walked with Adam and Eve and talked with them in the Garden of Eden. God Jesus was with the Israelites in the pillar of cloud above the tabernacle when they were in the wilderness. When His glory filled with the tabernacle or the temple, God Jesus was with His people there. God Jesus was with His people in the voice of the prophet and in the Ark of the Covenant. While we were sinners and lost, without hope in the darkness, God Jesus left the glories of heaven, took on the form of a servant to live among us in our daily human struggles and died for us on the cross. God actually came to us in time and space. This is what Christ's first disciples testified about Him. 1 John 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what you have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. His disciples had seen Jesus with their eyes and had touched Him with their hands. What they are essentially saying is, we are eyewitnesses. He is the word of life. We testify to this truth. We really saw Him. He truly lived, died, and rose from the dead. It is absolutely true. John says in verse 4, we write this to make our joy complete. They proclaim to us what they experienced, so that we may also have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ, as they did. This made their joy complete. In Exodus 33, when Moses asked to see God's glory, God says, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." But Jesus has removed every barrier that once stood between us and God. Through Jesus, now we see God's glory in a way we can grasp, full of love, grace, and truth, revealed in the person of the Son, Jesus Christ. When you read the Gospels, you are seeing God in human form. Through Jesus, we witness God's perfect character in ways we can relate it to. His love, mercy, wisdom, humility, and compassion. God has gone to the great lengths to reveal himself to us on a personal level. His love reaches into our lives, filling us with his presence. This intimate communion with God has the power to transform us in ways we never imagined. This is the fellowship God desires with us, an intimate and rich communion that fulfills the deepest longings of our heart. Through Jesus, we are invited into fellowship with God and with all who share this relationship with the Father and the Son. As believers, we can experience the same close personal communion with God that the disciples who walked with Jesus experienced. This will make our joy complete. In other words, your joy will not be complete until you experience the same joy in the fellowship with God that Jesus' disciples experienced. God has opened the door for us to have deep communion with him and experience true joy. But here's my question. We all long for true joy. But are you truly experiencing that joy in your life? If not, why? Many Christians, because of the challenges and dissatisfaction in life, say they only experience joy briefly or not at all. They often say, "I don't have room for joy in my heart for various reasons." They are not happy with their lives and keep complaining about their job, marriage, children, finances, position, and health, as these don't meet their desires. Everybody wants to live a good life. We are working hard to achieve our important goals and to be successful in each area of our lives. We want the Lord to help us achieve what we want and fulfill our desires. But God never said, "If you believe in me, I will make everything wonderful in your life, help you with whatever you want to do, take away any challenges and trials, and make you healthy and rich." God didn't redeem us solely to make us live a good life on earth based on worldly standards. Our life on earth is not about that. God truly loves us and is guiding us toward himself. He continues to draw us nearer to himself and transforming us into the image of Christ for his glory and our good. He will bring it to completion when Christ returns, and you will be eternally glorified with him. That is what God wants to accomplish in us on earth, and he is using every event in our lives to bring about the divine purpose. For this, sometimes God permits even what he hates to accomplish what he loves. So if you are focusing only on earthly good life with your own agenda and desires, that means you are trying to live a Christian life based on worldly standards, which is impossible. Then every challenge and dissatisfaction will leave you disappointed, and your life will be filled with anxiety. There will be no room for you in your heart, and you may not experience true joy. Let's look at what Paul says about his contentment in his letter, Philippians 4. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you are concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying that because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. One of the reasons we often don't experience joy is because we allow our circumstances to dictate our contentment. When we constantly seek external sources for our satisfaction, our joy becomes unstable and fleeting. When things are not going well, it is easy to lose sight of peace and contentment. But as Paul says in the passage, our joy is not rooted in our circumstances, but in our relationship with the Lord. True joy comes from deep communion with God and learning to be content in all situations, whether we are in need or if we already have plenty. When you rely on God's strength and trust in his presence, you can experience joy no matter what life brings. Our joy is not based on what you have or don't have, but on the unshakable peace we find in God, our ultimate home. Psalm 1:3. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. This verse describes the life of a godly person, comparing them to a tree planted by streams of water. This tree is not dependent on unpredictable rain for its survival, because its roots draw nourishment from a constant life-giving source, the stream. It thrives, yielding fruit in its season, and its leaves remain green and full of life, unaffected by drought or harsh conditions. Whatever this tree does, prosper. Not because of external circumstances, but because of its unshakable connection to the source of life. In the same way, the joy that comes from God is not dependent on the ups and downs of life. The joy of Christmas, the assurance of God's love, care, and presence in the gift of His Son, is like a fountain of mirth that never runs dry. True joy is not dictated by circumstances, but is anchored in the unchanging truth of God's presence and promises. This is the joy of Christmas that sustains, nourishes, and prospers us throughout all seasons of life. In John 17, 13, Jesus says, "I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measures of my joy within them." Our joy will be unshakable because the full measure of Christ's own joy will be reproduced in us. No one will take away that joy from you. This is why Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians 5 are truly possible. "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Then how can you experience true joy? First, we need to be humble and admit our weakness. Pride causes a person to believe they can handle life on their own, relying on their own strengths, wisdom, and achievement. This mindset can keep them from seeing their needs for a Savior. So God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You might think, "I'm not doing that." But take a moment to reflect on your life. How often do we put our own thoughts and desires ahead of God's words each day? It may be even hard to count. These choices keep us from experiencing true joy. When we think of Christ's incarnation, we usually begin from thinking about baby Jesus in a manger. He came into this sinful world with nothing, as a helpless and weak baby in a very humble way. Not to save the proud or self-sufficient, but those who recognize their own weakness and need for help and a Savior. When we confess our weaknesses and surrender all to God, Christ's power is made perfect in us, and His grace is sufficient for us. Paul said, "I will boast gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." He saw and understood his life in God's perspective and rejoiced in what Christ did for him. Second, we should live a faithful daily Christian life led by the Spirit. We live in a world where, thanks to technology, we can quickly get what we want. We can watch any movie we want by simply logging into a website, order anything online, and have it delivered right to our door, and easily find any information we need with just a click. Perhaps because of this kind of culture, we tend to approach our faith with the same mindset. We look for ways to quickly and easily grow in our relationship, in our knowledge of God, deepen our relationship with Him, and experience His presence. But like fruit requires the right amount of sunlight, rain, wind, temperature, and time to ripen, our relationship with God requires a similar process. If you are married, you know this to be true. No one can build love overnight. It takes steady, faithful effort, day by day, to nurture the relationship and gradually grow into a deeper, lasting love. The Christian life doesn't begin with extraordinary actions, but with the humble act of asking for His grace. Experiencing joy is surprisingly ordinary. Life and joy take root and grow in us through a faithful daily Christian life led by the Spirit. Daily obedience, prayer, reading scripture, attending worship service faithfully, serving our brothers and sisters in Christ, and loving our neighbors. These everyday acts, done in reliance on Jesus, gradually deepen our faith over time. As we remain faithful in these consistent practices, our lives become more firmly grounded, the source of true joy, which flows like a deep, unshakable river, sustaining us through every season of life. We will experience true joy forever in God, our ultimate home, where all of us truly belong. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy that comes from knowing you and how it fills our heart. We thank you for your presence in our lives. And no matter our circumstances, we can find true joy in our relationship with you. Lord, help us to always humble ourselves before you and rely on you. May we experience the fullness of joy in communion with you, our ultimate home. As we celebrate the joy of this Advent season, may your peace and joy dwell within us and fill the whole world. In Jesus' name. Amen.